You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Start, we lead, and we'd like to welcome in Chris Canty, who must be in just like a million-dollar mood. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Hope you guys are doing great. I'm doing awesome. Can I just say this? I know we're about to talk about the Yankees game, but how awesome was last night just as a sports night?
It was a lot, though. It was a little overwhelming.
It was a lot, but that's why you got to have the screens going. Like, I had the Yankees game going. Obviously, the sound is on that. But then I had the Patriots-Chiefs game, and then I also had the Packers-Falcons game. It was a great sports night. It was a great sports night. I mean, I wish that the Patriots had Cam Newton because the outcome of that game could have been different. You're talking about a 3-point game in the beginning of the fourth quarter. I thought that was a really interesting game plan that Belichick came up with because he did a lot of things that we haven't seen other people do in terms of trying to defend that Chiefs offense. But last night was just an awesome sports night. And then to cap it all off around 11:45, Giancarlo Stanton hits a grand slam in the ninth inning. It was just awesome, Dave.
Let's let him bubbling with excitement, Rick.
It's so late, though. Just so late. I mean, luckily for me, I banked up all the sleep, but there's just too much going on. Too many games. It's time. God, Zach Britton was just painful to watch, too. Just taking so long. Snell taking so long. I told you yesterday, though, Dave, I don't know if you can throw the 60 games out the window, but this is a completely different New York game.
Oh, I agree. I mean, they have, if there's such a thing as turning it on, Chris, they have turned it on. They look like a well-oiled machine 3 games into the postseason.
No, they look phenomenal. But, I mean, I thought last night was how you would script it if you're the Yankees. Like, if you're Brian Cashman, this is how you built this team. I mean, you're going to get a quality start from your ace. Gerrit Cole gives you 6 innings, a 3-run ball. He goes through the heart of the Rays order 3 times. So, I mean, that was good. You saw Chad Green and Zach Britton come in. They did their jobs. No hits, no runs allowed. And then everybody in the lineup hit. I mean, you had 15 hits last night and 5 walks. I mean, that's how you script it. You created traffic. You were able to come up with big hits in big spots. And then when you needed the insurance runs in the ninth inning, Aaron Hicks delivered with an RBI single, and then Stanton hit the grand slam. So, I mean, that's exactly what you wanted to see if you're a Yankees fan. I mean, I know that the Rays were going to be a different animal than the Indians, but, I mean, we're talking about 3 postseason games, and – we're talking about this team hitting a lot of home runs, and that was the one thing that they couldn't come up with in the postseasons prior. They just couldn't get big hits in big spots, and they couldn't hit home runs, and we're seeing them do both now. So maybe this team is turning a corner. We always talk about how it takes a certain amount of failure in the playoffs before you're able to break through. Maybe this is the year that the Yankees are actually going to break through and get to the World Series.
I don't know about you guys, and Cole pitched. I mean, he wasn't dominant. I mean, he got the job done. I mean, he did exactly what you needed him to do.
He was
good.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially, I mean, that Margot at bat. Like, listen, you suck it up, you put Choi on, you load the bases, you attack Margot.
That was some heat. That was some heat, bro.
Yeah, but if you would have asked Gerrit Cole before the game, 6 innings, 3 runs, he would not have said, yeah, give me that.
You were throwing out 7 innings, 1 run yesterday.
Well, listen, the thought is he's one of the top 2 or 3 pitchers in baseball. That's the expectation for those stars, isn't it?
I mean, that's the expectation. It's not real. I mean, it's probably unrealistic. I mean, you're going up against a good lineup.
That's what I'm about to say.
And Choi, I mean, he just, I don't know what it is. But
he owns Gerrit Cole.
He owns him. And I will say this. I know Stanton had the big grand slam and everything else. Unsung hero in that game last night was Higgy.
He was great defensively. Great, brilliant defensively.
Both catchers. Zunino was great, too, for Tampa.
Yeah, yes. But Higashioka was great defensively. And obviously, you could argue he had the biggest hit of the game. I mean, 3-2, fifth inning, he unloads home run. Then Judge hits the home run, and then all of a sudden the Yankees have a lead after.
And he got you going
to
the ninth.
Minutes.
And he let off the ninth.
Yep.
With a single.
Yep. He was great. And that ninth inning was. There's so many different ways to attack this game to analyze it, but that ninth inning was huge. And Rick, I know that you and I are going to be exactly the same on this. Why was that ninth inning so big?
Because you didn't have to worry about Chapman.
Exactly. Huge, yeah. Guys. That's what the Curtis wouldn't have been in that game.
No.
There's zero chance that Curtis would have been facing Stanton in that spot, except for the fact that they just don't want to continue to burn pitchers, knowing that you're going to have a game every single day.
Curtis last night was the first casualty of the no days off.
Yes.
He had to eat that one last night. He got a little feisty, too, throwing up and in, by the
yep.
way.
Well, once the game was over.
I love the fact that Gleyber Torres stole second base in the ninth. Love it. Love it. Rub their noses in it.
I'll tell you, Pedro Martinez after the game. That's so disrespectful. There's unwritten rules. We didn't have to go up and in on Urshela and Gleyber. I mean, clearly that was intentional.
Yes.
Oh, of course it was.
That pitch to Urshela was intentional.
But I thought Kevin Cash doesn't coach that. I thought he doesn't manage that way.
And well, that's not who
likes
they
to
are.
Call people out.
Stop it.
I love that there's this disdain for these two
love
teams.
It.
They can't stand each other. I see the Yankees are up 9-3. They're on the top step, you know, imploring for more. It's great.
This is exactly what you wanted. This is exactly what you wanted. And this was huge for a couple reasons. I mean, obviously, you know, game one in a 5-game series is huge. But on top of that, when you're playing a team that's owned you the entire season and you got your guy on the mound, this is a game you needed to win. Okay, I mean, this is to get your swagger back.
Yes. You need
because
to,
if all of a sudden,
listen, if you would have lost this game, you would have been panicked going into this game tonight. Panicked.
Plus, what do you think? How do you feel if you're in Tampa? If you've owned the Yankees the entire season. And then
oh, you're
you
putting all the pressure on them. All the pressure is on Tampa right now. All of it.
And then you beat up on Gerrit Cole? I mean, now there's no way you feel like the Yankees can beat you if you beat up on Gerrit Cole.
Right.
And the Yankees did the right thing of putting Davey Garcia in tonight. I love it.
You think?
No, I love it.
Because
you're going to have to use him. Well, he's going to have to start a game, right? It's a 5-game mm-hmm. series. You figure at some point you're going to have to use him. There's pressure because it's the postseason. But
game three is a bigger game than game two.
Exactly. 1-3
I agree with you. Yeah.
And Tampa's never seen
now.
Him. And Tampa's never seen him before. So you have that advantage. Yeah. You're going to use him. This is the best spot, in my opinion, to use him.
Yeah. I'd rather put him in this spot rather than putting him in game three, and God forbid the Rays end up getting to Tanaka and beating them up in game two. Now you're talking about a young guy being in a pivotal game in a 5-game set. I don't like that.
It's less pressure.
It's still the postseason game, so it's pressure, but I feel like the pressure is dialed back a little bit in game two, just knowing how you came off of a game one win with Gerrit Cole pitching.
Now, how good was Urshela last night, too? Oh, my God, defensively.
Oh, he's awesome.
From sitting down, jumping plays and diving plays and from his butt. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah, he solidified himself as the third base. He made two good plays there, too. He made the first leaping one and then he made the diving one.
Margot,
he makes everything look so easy.
He's got some speed because that was a close play.
Yeah, Urshela is now entrenched as the official third baseman of the New York Yankees.
Yep, and Frazier with that bomb. I mean,
Every
Gardner in the first series, he's great. Then you put Frazier in, he unloads on a home run, a high pitch, too, that he got around on. I mean, it's just like everything that they're pressing, every button they're pressing is working so far.
Yeah, you put Frazier in, he hits the home run. You got production from him and Higashioka at the bottom of the order. And then even when you put Gardner in, you got production. I mean, Tyler Wade draws a walk. I mean, every single button that Aaron Boone is pressing right at the moment has been the right one.
Yeah, so far, it is perfect. All right, let's take a listen to some of what the Yankees had to say. Let's get your calls on game one of the ALDS, 800-919-3776. Gerrit Cole, after the game, here he is evaluating his game one start. Gerrit Cole.
Understated. Yeah, he's understated.
Yeah, he's very quiet.
Very
understated.
Take care of business.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very workmanlike. But let's see if he if he wants to talk now. Gerrit Cole, after game one, evaluating his start.
A bit of a grind. Some really good pitches. Some poor pitches. Some excellent defense. Some good catching. Some great offense. We were able to stop them when it really counted. I was unfortunate to go with the lead twice, but it's a good team game.
You gave up the lead twice, mm-hmm. but the fact that the second that G-Man Choi hits that two-run homer to take the lead, that half inning, you have the two solo home runs to take back the lead was huge.
Huge. Led by a guy that you expect very little from, in Higashioka. I mean, Judge is the guy, but for Higashioka, and he crushed that ball. to do that. He was great last night.
He was awesome last
night. If you would have gotten that from Sanchez, people would have been screaming, he's got to, you know, he's amazing. This is what we expected. That's what Higashioka was for you last night.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, let's all call it what it is. If that's Gary Sanchez, and you know I like Gary Sanchez. I think he's super talented. But if that's Gary Sanchez behind the plate, that cross-up that Higashioka somehow was able to catch on Margot, that's a run.
100%.
And that inning could, who knows how that inning turns out? You have no idea how that inning turns out.
He was great defensively. He was great offensively. He was sensational last night. If you're getting production like that from Higashioka in the nine spot, this is the best lineup you've ever seen in your life.
There's no break in the order.
No.
Like they were talking about it last night. Like there's no sigh of relief. Like even when you get to the 7, 8, 9 hitters, like those guys can find ways to be productive. But again, this is what Brian Cashman envisioned. Like everybody in this lineup is capable of hitting, but the fact that everybody's hitting at the same time, like that's when you start talking about this thing being a well-oiled machine, all of them clicking on all cylinders. Like this is the time where you want to be playing your best baseball, and quite frankly, that's exactly what it looks like for the Yankees in this 3-game sample size in the postseason. They are playing their best baseball of the season right now.
Right now. Yep.
And Gerrit Cole went out there and set the tone, gave you a quality start. I know it's not 7 innings of one run ball like you said yesterday, Dave, but I mean that was plenty good enough for a really good Tampa Bay Rays lineup.
Yeah, he made a couple mistakes. But that seems to be what happens to Gerrit Cole, is that he's so confident in his stuff that when he does, I mean, he's attacking you like he's in the strike zone, that, you know, if he does throw a fastball over the middle of the plate, that you can make him pay for it. But I mean, when he gets aggravated and he starts ramping it up, and he's got 99 and 100 riding up in the zone, you can't hit it. You saw how fired up he was. Like, he knew that how important that moment was.
Well, it was. I mean, base hit for Margot there, and you're in serious trouble.
And you needed to take him out. I saw a bunch of people saying that he should come off for the seventh. I mean, his secondary stuff, he started to lose control of his secondary stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
His fastball was still nice. But you're going, you knew, Aaron Boone knows going into the seventh that there'll be a pinch hitter. So you end up seeing Meadows, and then it's the top of the order. You can get him out. I mean,
I thought that was the right move. You 100%. Already talk about the guys having lanes, like Chad Green, let him be your seventh inning guy. Zach Britton, let him be your eighth inning guy. And then based on the top of the ninth, you didn't have to use Chapman. But, I mean, if you were scripting it, that's how you would script it. Like, it went according to plan last night. There was no need to stretch Gerrit Cole. Because that's
actually
what you got
Chad Green looked good,
for.
Too, last night.
He
I thought that's
good.
The best Chad Green's good. Looked in a while.
Yeah, he was good.
He did look good.
He was good. Yeah.
It worked out perfectly. I mean, the offense did what they had to do. Cole was good enough, right? The bullpen came in and did what they had to do, and then you jumped on a reliever late to extend the game. You could not have scripted it better last night if you're a fan of the Yankees.
Here's the thing, Dave, and I know you're saying Cole was good, not great, but with this lineup, if Cole goes out there and gives you a quality start in the postseason, I mean, don't you like your chances? I know I do. I'm a Yankees fan. I love my chances.
Yeah.
If my starting pitcher gives me 3-run ball into the seventh inning, I feel good about my chances of being able to win that game every single time. Every time.
Yeah.
Well, I think currently you feel that way because this offense is clicking. I mean, I think there's been times in the past where you go up against the other team's ace, your guy comes out and gives you six innings, 3 earned runs, and your offense can't do anything.
Right.
I mean, well, if this offense doesn't hit, we got no chance of competing for a championship anyway, because that's how they were built. They got to score runs.
But if Snell goes out and gives you 6 innings of 1-run ball, we're not talking about, oh, Gerrit Cole was really good last night. We're talking about Gerrit Cole was outpitched by Blake Snell.
Yeah, that's the conversation. But if Blake Snell goes out there and gives you 6 innings of 1-run ball, we're looking at the lineup and saying, what's going on with these dudes? Because they're not hitting. To me, that would be the conversation.
No, but Yankees fans would call in and say, we paid Cole all this money to not get out-dueled
by anybody.
And they would be wrong. They would be wrong. I understand you paid Gerrit Cole $300 million. I get it. I understand it. But in a postseason game, this team has to be able to score runs. That has been the Achilles heel for the Yankees when you're going up against the better teams in baseball.
Well, it doesn't look like it's going to be the Achilles heel now.
No, it's not. I mean, but isn't that what we talked about? When you lost to the Red Sox in the DS a couple of years ago, when you lost to the Astros last year and in 17, they weren't able to come up with the big hit. That has been the biggest issue. They weren't able to consistently manufacture runs.
Yeah, but you know, Chris, and you know this. I mean, I think you're right. That would be unfair criticism of Gerrit Cole if something like that happened.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's the expectation, is that he should be, because of how much money you paid him, because of the success he's had, how dominant we've seen him be. Is he's immune to the Yankees? He should be immune to the Yankees not hitting.
No, I got you. His perception is reality. You paid this guy all this money to be the difference in winning a championship, and I understand that. Like, people are looking at Gerrit Cole like they looked at CeCe Sabathia in 2009. Like, you're supposed to deliver the championship if we're going to pay you all of this money. Because Brian Cashman has been resistant to going out and doing this for several years now. So this is supposed to be the move. And I get it. But again, I come back to, unless this lineup is able to be diverse in the way that they can score runs, you're going to struggle. But the fact that they're hitting home runs, the fact that they are creating traffic, getting guys on base, the fact that you're getting sac flies and you're getting RBI base hits, like, to me, that's what makes this Yankee team special, and that's what's going to make them a tough out if they can score in multiple ways. If it's just home run or strikeout, we're not going to get anywhere. I don't care how good Gerrit Cole is.
Well, it's been a lot of home runs. I mean, you got 11 home runs in the three games. I mean, 21 of your 31 runs have come via the home run. So you hit.
Well, how many
did
they have last night? Five?
No, they had four last night.
Four home runs last night.
Four last night. But it's to Chris's point, it's having productive at bats, right? It's not having, you know, non-competitive at bats. You know, each guy's going up there with the same mindset that they're going to attack strikes in the zone. And that's the one thing. I was reading some stuff last night in Santiago. We've seen him play baseball. It's brutal. I mean, it's actually makes your eyes bleed.
Santi's very animated today, by the way. Like Ray, you hate the Rays, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Wow, he's just dead inside right now. The Cowboys have killed him,
too. What's the matter with you?
The Cowboys have killed him.
Have they? Are they taking you from the inside? What's happening here?
It's not good.
you're really dead inside from the Cowboys?
Oh, my goodness.
You are too much today. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God almighty. The NFL has killed all of us. This is unfortunate. This is supposed to be the most exciting time of the year. Between the Jets, the Giants, and now the Cowboys, everyone on the show is dead.
Who has the right to be the most upset? You?
Santiago. 100% Santiago.
Because the expectations, right?
Exactly.
At least I still got the Ravens.
That's a good point.
True. Still got the Ravens.
You could fall back on them because you certainly can't be the Giants fan now.
No, the Giants and the Cowboys are ugh.
Yeah.
I don't know who feels worse. I don't know. If I was a Cowboys fan, I'd probably feel worse than if I was a Giants fan.
I think so. Listen, the Giants were expected to win, what, 4, 5, maybe 6 games? Chris, I remember you saying, if the Cowboys don't go to the NFC Championship game, this is a failed season. Well, a quarter of the way through, I mean, NFC Championship game seems light years away.
Yeah. But because they're in a miserable division, there's still time for them to figure it out.
I still think they win the division.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They look terrible.
It's bad. It's bad right now.
And they should be. They should be 0-4.
They should be. Yeah. I mean, that was a miracle in that Falcons game. Like, they should be a winless team.
I'm going to need somebody in Dallas to explain to me, too, why. It still bothers me, that kick. You cut it to 3, and you kick it to the – I mean, they end up at the 50. What are you doing?
Yeah, I watched that again, Rico. I still can't make sense of that. Like, I still can't figure that one out.
Made no sense to me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I don't know, man. Sometimes
defensively, they're bad, though, man. Oh, I mean, you let a team ring up 300 yards rushing on you in the NFL. I mean, that's
awful.
They lost
Chubb in the game, too.
Yeah.
Chubb got hurt in that game.
He's going to be out for about a month with the MCL sprain.
Yeah. Eckler as well.
But it doesn't matter. If they can run the ball like that with all those guys they got.
They were putting in running backs that I'd never heard of. It's like, there's 8 yards for Johansson. You know, it's like, oh, come on. Like, right?
Warren's
they had a guy
nine.
Named Dearness Johnson. Had you ever heard of him before?
No.
Dearness Johnson.
No. I'm telling you, they were, like, they've taken, you know, who's Kareem Hunt's out of the game. They've put in, you know,
Dontrell Hilliard.
Yeah. Look at him. That's 11. Wasn't touched till he was 9 yards downfield. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like, I told Santiago yesterday, it was like watching Oklahoma in the 80s when Switzer was the coach. They go up against, like, you know, Kansas Southern, and they, you know, 400 yards of running. They ran for 300 yards yesterday.
Dave, I don't know how they didn't tackle Odell Beckham Jr. on that reverse.
Well, that's
terrible. Let alone let him run 50 yards to the house.
It looked like they had no interest in tackling him on that run.
At all.
None.
At all.
All right, let's get back to the Yankees. You had a point, Rick, about the at-bats you were saying, and then we made fun of Santiago, which was fun, but go ahead.
No, I mean, you see the approach, and they faced, I mean, I don't care what you say about Cleveland. I mean, between Bieber and Carrasco, and Cleveland's got a really good bullpen, I mean, you offensively dominated that series. And I was reading some of Santi's stuff last night. He's like, oh, don't let him off the hook. You know, you got to You got to see more pitches. The mindset isn't just take pitches. Like, you want to make the pitcher work. What they're trying to do is attack strikes. If that's the first pitch, then they're going to attack the first pitch. But it's making sure that, I mean, for them, it's recognizing what pitch is coming. If it's a fastball, if it's a curveball, and where the pitch starts and where it ends up. And what they're doing right now with these first three games, the amount of pitches, good pitches, that these Yankees hitters are able to lay off, it's been impressive. It really has been.
And Snell was behind. And, you know, I thought that Bieber was just not good, and maybe he wasn't. But Snell was behind everyone. Maybe they're just really, really great right now at making guys throw strikes. And if they're not strikes, they're not going to go after them. Because he was behind everybody last night.
Well, I think everybody is committed to the approach, Dave. And that's the one thing that Aaron Judge talked about before going into the postseason. He says everybody has to be committed to putting together quality at-bats. It's going to be a cumulative effect. Like, it can't be one or two guys doing their own thing separate from the other seven. Like, that can't be how this thing goes. Collectively, they got to do it. It can't just be one-offs. And I think that's why you're seeing production from everybody in the lineup, because nobody's getting in the batter's box trying to do too much. To Rick's point, it's about putting together a competitive at-bat and swinging at strikes, not chasing outside of the zone. And when you do that, you're going to run up a pitcher's pitch count, and that's just going to continue to put pressure on the guy that's on the mound. Meanwhile, you're just passing the baton to the next man in your lineup.
Yeah, but you know what the nice thing is? The next man you have confidence in, right? If there's some lineups where you look, you're like, oh, God, if I get passed it down to six, all of a sudden it is a break. There's no break. Torres is
There's no break, Dave, and we recognize that this is an immensely talented Yankee team, but it's also about being disciplined. Like, it's like, okay, I know I have confidence in the next man, not just because he has talent, but he also has the discipline to go along with it in his approach and how he's going to try to attack this pitcher. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what it has to be.
Yeah, but I think here's the thing, though. I mean, you can sit there and say going into these at-bats, you're going to have a great approach. But the fact that, you know, everyone in this lineup is able to recognize pitches at the – like, to be this locked in, to have everyone this locked in at the same time is – I mean, it's scary. It really
LeMahieu is daunting. I mean, I tell you, as someone that doesn't like the Yankees, every time he comes up, I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. Like, he is great. He really is. I mean, the first step out of the game, you know, what did he throw? Eight or nine pitches. Then
nine
he gets
pitches.
The base hit. Like, it's just what he does is sensational. He's a great player.
He's a complete baseball player. Like,
yeah.
He is exactly what you would want. And he set the tone again. I mean, this is like game one against Cleveland.
Yep.
He comes up, sets the tone. I mean, in game one in Cleveland, Judge hits the home run. But then you score one run in the first inning, and then now all of a sudden, you feel good. You start to feel good about yourself.
Right. And what was the stat? Snell never allows a run in the first inning, and you jump on him early, and you take a 1-0 lead, and then you give it away, and then you score again. Then you allow the 2-run home run, and then you jump on him again. I actually thought, I don't know if you felt like this, guys, I actually felt, because he was not good last night, I thought they left him in a little bit too long. I don't know that they had an option to take him out, but I don't know. I didn't feel like Snell was all that great last night.
No, he wasn't great, but we talked about it. With no off days, you're going to have to get some length from your starting pitcher.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know how much choice you had. I don't know if you could have pulled him before the sixth inning.
You really have to manage this series differently, like really differently.
Well, he said that the entire time, though. You're going to earn your money now. This is no more, you know, baseball manager as a middle manager. Like, you're going to have to make some serious decisions here.
Right. It's not two games, and then you take a day off, and everybody replenishes and refreshes. I mean, this is, you know, scoring those runs in the ninth inning and not having to use Chapman is a huge advantage for the Yankees, tremendous advantage for them right now.
Yeah, and you got to think, with the young fella going on the mound in game two tonight, you're going to have to go to your bullpen.
Yes.
A lot earlier than you probably went to your bullpen last night. Now, that being said, Garcia has, you know, pitched seven innings strong several times. So we'll see if the moment is, you know, if the moment isn't too big for him, maybe he can give you some length. But you don't go into this game expecting that he's going to give you six or seven innings. You
no.
just can't.
If you got five innings of two or three run ball, you'd take that tonight?
Oh, yeah. 100%, Dave. In a heartbeat.
You're going to need to score runs, and you're going to need your bullpen to come in and produce again. That's what you need if you're the Yankees.
Yeah. I'm going into this game thinking that my bullpen has got to get me 12 outs.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
But let's be honest, though. What we've seen so far from Davey Garcia, I know he's only 21 years old. He seems to be unaffected.
He looks great.
By the pressure. This is a different animal. I mean,
this
is game two. But, I mean, if you know going into a series, at some point we're going to need this guy to start a game, I think the Yankees did a great job of putting him in the least stressful of the five games.
Well, winning last night was huge.
Yeah, right? But even game two, like even if you lose, though, game two is not an elimination game.
True, but if you're down 2-0, you're in heaps of trouble.
Yes.
Against a team that feels like they're better than you anyway. Like, winning last night and then putting him on the mound is a tremendous advantage for the Yankees.
But regardless, if they won or lost, game two would be the least amount of stress. Either you go down 2-0, which sucks, but you're not eliminated, or you win the first game, and now you have a chance to go up 2-0. The pressure was only going to get more. There was only going to be more pressure as the series progressed.
I would agree with you, except that Tampa has beaten you 8 of the 10 times you played in the regular season. So if you lost game one with your ace on the mound and you came back in game two, that'd be a hell of a lot of pressure for Davey Garcia to try to set the tone in terms of the Yankees proving that they're a different team in the postseason than the team that the Rays beat up on in the regular season.
Yeah, but regardless, there was going to be pressure. This is the least. Going into it, it's the postseason. There will be pressure. But as far as the five games, which game would have the least amount of pressure? Game two has the least amount of pressure.
Yeah, but I think if you go down 0-2, Rico, and I'm not saying that an elimination game wouldn't be pressure, but if you go down 0-2, the expectation is that you're probably going to lose that series anyway, especially going up against a team like the Rays.
If you're down 0-2,
yeah.
Do you think
so? I don't know. Yeah.
Do you think there's more or less? If Davey Garcia pitches game three and Tanaka loses, you're down 0-2. Is there more or less pressure than Davey Garcia pitching in game two?
There's probably, well, here's the thing. It's an elimination game, so you would think there's more pressure. But if your top two pitchers in your rotation lost the first two games of the series, how much pressure is there really on Davey Garcia, a rookie?
A lot of pressure, because if you lose, you go home.
Okay.
An elimination game by definition has more pressure than game two.
I understand what you're saying, but I also get where Dave's coming from. I also get where Dave's coming from on that.
Well, they don't have to deal with that now. They won game one, and there's not a ton of pressure on Garcia tonight. Because even if he's awful and you lose tonight, you're 1-1 and you have a guy that you should have confidence on in going for game three.
Yes.
Yankees are in great shape.
Yeah. We're in a good spot.
They are. And it's not even like Coulter 117 pitches last night and you're going to bring him back on short rest. Right? He threw under 100. What did he throw, 97 last night?
97.
Yeah.
97 pitches. Yep.
Yeah, but he's never come back on short rest. So you didn't want to mess around with that.
He's going
to have to mess around with that. So don't mess around with that. Win in three or four. Don't even mess around with that. Cole is good, but I mean, he's never done it before.
Nope. Yeah, I would like to not have to mess around with it, but for some reason, I don't think this Rays team is going to give us that privilege.
Is it going to matter? I mean, you guys keep saying it. Is it the way the Yankees are swinging the bats right now? Is it going to? I mean, I don't care what the Rays do.
We'll see. I mean, if the Rays win tonight, this is going to go far.
You've scored 31 runs in three games, man. It's ridiculous. The Rays are good.
Yeah, but at some point, you kind of feel like the faucet is going to turn off. Like, you're not going to go out there and score 9 or 10 runs every single game.
You're not going to score 9 or 10, but, I mean, you could score 5 or 6, which is probably still
which would be great. Which would be great, Dave. But all I'm saying is I think it is going to matter. Like, your starting pitching is going to matter in this series because the Rays are a damn good team. Like, that's going to factor in.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good baseball team.
Yeah.
They're not scared of you.
You say they're not scared of them. I mean, and you may be right, but I don't think they've seen this Yankees team yet. This is not the Yankees team they saw in the regular season.
I would agree with that. I mean, this is a better version of what the Yankees have been all year because it's a motivated Yankees team.
This is the best version of what the Yankees have been all year. This is the best version.
Yep. Yeah. But from a psychology standpoint, the Rays got to go out there and try to win game two because if they don't win this game, it's a wrap.
If the Rays don't win tonight, this series is
over. You know what they're going to say? You know what? We thought we were a different team. We're really not. We're really not. They got to prove to themselves that they can beat the Yankees when it matters the most.
The fact that the Tampa Bay Rays, I may actually throw up in my mouth as I say this. The fact that the Tampa Bay Rays had the second best record in all of Major League Baseball and their payroll this season is $28 million.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. I said I couldn't believe it.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah, because they're the best run organization in baseball.
The Yankees payroll is 4 times the Rays payroll. Yeah.
I can't say that. What's the guy's name that hit the home run in the first inning? A Ruzzaroni or something?
No, come on.
Ariceroni? What? Would you say?
Ariceroni? What is it?
What's his name? Ariceroni?
San Francisco Treat? No. What are we talking about here?
What's his name?
Is this Uncle Ben? You call him Uncle Ben?
A Rosarena, Dave. A Rosarena.
So Santiago's feeding me false information.
He said a Ricearoni.
Yeah, Anthony's telling Santiago that it's like a bad game of telephone. Well, Santi, get on the air and admit that you were giving me bad names. A Rosarina.
What?
No.
A Rosarina, Dave.
A Rosarina. They're telling me the wrong name. A Rosarina.
No.
Arena.
A Rosarina.
A Rosarina. There you go.
All right. A Rosarina. Anthony, you're dead to me.
Just say what position he plays.
Dead to me. My point is,
he's dead. There's no way that Anthony or Ray Santiago were telling you a Rice Aroni was his name.
Anthony.
Nobody back here was saying a Rice Aroni.
Were you giving me bad information? A Rosarena.
Guys in the clubhouse call him Uncle Ben.
Can't put me in the middle of this.
Oh, we don't put you in the middle. You're the one giving me. Oh, it's a Rice Aroni.
You said a Rice Aroni.
Bad names.
And don't let him throw you under the bus.
I got
it
now.
Don't let him throw you under the bus.
My point is this, that whatever the hell his name is, this guy was on the Cardinals. They got him from the Cardinals. He makes $500,000 a year and is batting third on arguably the best team in the American League. That's unbelievable.
He's a beast, too.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, what they do is amazing, and I mean, it goes back to the point where you want Stevie Cohen to spend his money when he takes over the Mets. It's not necessarily always spending money on the payroll. It's scouting. It's player development. It's analytics. I mean, they're one of the best. You're watching that game. They got four outfielders at certain points. That's how deeply entrenched in analytics they are. But, I mean, Cashman's made some of those same moves, too. Some unbelievable ones. I mean, Urshela, Voit, Hicks, when he had Didi. I mean, you name it. They're doing the same thing. They just have
– how they got Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, they can spend the money. It's the only difference. They have the money to spend.
Yeah, which is a big difference, though.
Well, no, it's a huge difference. But, I mean, you play the cards that you're dealt. I'm sure the Rays would like to go spend more money. They just can't afford to do it.
I know, but what they do with what they're allowed to do is pretty remarkable.
So what we want to do, and exactly why you should have hired Heim Bloom, is we want to take exactly what Tampa is doing, but add the pockets of Steve Cohen to it.
That's right. That's right. See, Theo Epstein may leave the Cubs.
Well, he's talking about breaking up the core and everything else. Theo, that'd be a nice little addition.
Oh, a nice little addition.
Now we're talking.
Guy's a curse breaker.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Are you saying we're cursed?
If he came
then?
To New York, there'd be some problems.
So you're saying we're cursed then? Is that what you're saying? Mets fans are cursed?
It doesn't feel like it's far from it.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting there. We were in the World Series not too long ago. And the wheels just fell right off.
Feels like
a
long time.
Found a way to destroy that team.
Oh, Rosarena. So that's where we are now, huh? Just make fun of me. It's a Rosarena.
That's not
going to
get old
correct.
Anytime soon, Dave. You're going to have to wear that one, partner.
Isn't it a Rosarena?
It's a Rosarena, yeah.
Okay, so
it
I
took you
know
five
it.
Times to get it.
Okay, well, you know what? I got it now.
Okay, there you go. Congratulations.
I feel comfortable now. I got in big trouble. Rick, you'll appreciate this, by the way. So
with who? With Alex or Sherry?
With Sherry. He's begging me, Dad, it's not fair. Yeah, you got to let me stay up. There's all this going on. I can't go to bed at 9 o'clock. That's just not fair. Da, 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 da. Fine. Stay up later if you want to stay up. So, goes to bed like 10 o'clock. This morning, I'm like, where's Alex? Fast asleep. Can't get out of bed. I'm like, dude, you're killing me. He's like, I'm 10, okay?
Yeah, that's not your fault, though. That's all on him.
You blame him?
Yeah, well, who else am I going to blame? You did him a solid.
Right.
Now, if he holds up his end of the bargain.
Then it's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue.
So this morning I'm hearing, you know, he's not going to bed that late anymore. What am I can't fight for him now.
Nope, sure can't. That's right? On him, though. He can't blame you for that from now on. He was supposed to pop up and be out of bed ready
exactly.
to go to school.
You'd figure if there's any day you're going to pop up and be out of bed, it'd be on the day after when you've just been, you know, granted a late bedtime.
Yeah, that way you maintain the option to have that privilege every
exactly.
now and again.
Because I know Thursday night. You know, Tampa Bay, Chicago, can I watch it? And I can't let him do it now.
Nope.
Puts me in a very bad position.
No, you did exactly what you were supposed to. You gave him the leash. It's exactly, and some people just aren't capable of burning the candle at both ends.
No, but Dave, here's where you might have, could have helped him out a little bit. You got to explain to him in that moment. Now, listen, if I let
I told him.
You told him.
I said, you got to be up.
You got to get up in the morning for school if I let you do this.
So he's blaming his alarm. My alarm is on mute. I said, well, whose fault is that? Bad.
But I mean, you could have also. Let's just finish it with this. I mean, realizing probably, like, I mean, just I would imagine that there was a little bit of hesitation. If I let you stay up this late, even if I tell you you need to be up, he's probably not going to be up. Maybe just to cover your own, you know, CYA. that maybe you take it upon yourself to get
to
in
make
there
sure
early.
He's up.
Yeah, get in early, wake him up.
I probably should have done that. I didn't think he would fail. I thought he'd be on the ball.
See, I chalked this up as good parenting on your part.
Oh, really?
No, listen, you gave him the opportunity. I mean, he asked. He's 10 years old. You gave him the opportunity, and he let you down. That's on him.
He did.
Yeah,
but
your teammates got to look out for you, too. And I feel like Dad and his brother could have did him a solid.
Oh, his brother would never. Like, his brother would probably turn the alarm off. His brother would never do him that solid. It's really, that was all on me. That was all on me, 100%. All right, Aaron Boone, big win, 800-919-3776. The last three games, the Yankees have been red hot. He was asked after the game, have the last three games been your best baseball the entirety of the season?
Yeah, there's no question the guys have really played well. You know, they've and a lot of big pitches, a lot of big defensive plays, big at-bats in the critical times of the game. And obviously, with the whole lineup kind of working well together, we've been able to, you know, really break through eventually, like we did tonight, where it was a grind there for, you know, six or seven innings. So I think the guys are really focused, and hopefully we can continue it tomorrow.
There's no reason to think they won't, Rick. I mean, you watch them the first three games of the postseason. Now you go up against Glass now. I mean, he's certainly a good pitcher, but do you think that they won't continue this? I mean, this seems to be what the Yankees are now in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to be what they are. I mean, and they had the time off, too. I mean, what they did in the first in those two games against Cleveland, had the time off. I mean, that would be, you know, going into this game, maybe you would expect them to let down a little bit just because they've had that time off, and they haven't. They didn't. Approach was the same. Still great at bats. I mean, he had one inning. Yeah, the second inning was the only inning that you went 1-2-3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to continue to put that much pressure, I don't care how good the pitchers are. I mean, if you continue to lay off pitches out of the strike zone the way they've been doing and make these pitchers work, these guys are good enough for the ball and balls in the strike zone. They're gonna hit. They'll be able to handle.
Yeah, but the key is, like you said, they got to work together, man. And Aaron Boone called it out. He says the lineup working together and putting together really good at-bats. Like, I liken it to pass rushers, right? If you got defensive linemen that are rushing the passer in a four-man rush, somebody is going to get double-teamed, but it's going to open up opportunities for other guys. And you just got to trust those other guys are going to get home. Like, I feel like it's the same way with this lineup. Like, you might not get the pitches to hit, but somebody in the lineup is going to get the pitches to hit. You just got to be disciplined to lay off of pitches that are outside of the strike zone. You get on base, and guess what? Somebody else can do damage. And that's exactly what's happened in all three playoff games. So you just hope that they can keep it rolling. But I know that they're not going to score 9, 10, 12 runs every single game.
I hope not.
Well, look at LeMahieu. I hope so. I wish they could, but I'm just saying it's inevitable that you're going to have a game where it's going to be, you know what? A 4 or 5 run game, and you're going to have to rely on your starting pitching and your bullpen to lock it down. I mean, last night was a 4-3 game going into the ninth inning?
Yeah.
So it was a 1-run game. So, I mean, it was a close game. Like, I would expect that the rest of the games in this series are going to be closely contested. Now, I would like to be pleasantly surprised and have them all be Yankees blowouts, but I know that the Rays are far too good of a team.
The Rays are a good baseball team. I mean, be happy with that win. Be thrilled that you exploded in the ninth inning, but, you know, it's one game. It's one game.
Yeah, but I mean, the Rays are always in these games because they're a well put together team. Fundamentally, they're solid. They can play good defense. They got good starting pitching. They got a good bullpen. They got a good coach. I mean, they got a good manager who does, you know, well with the matchups and everything else. They always put themselves in a situation where they'll be competitive. Look at the Patriots last night.
It's amazing.
That game should have never been that competitive last year.
Brian amazing. Hoyer is awful. How does he still have a job?
It's amazing that he's that. I mean, how could you take that sack?
Which one, Dave? The one where he's the sack and it pushes him out of field goal range, or the one where he gets sacked and it's a strip fumble?
Well, the one at the end of the first half where you get sacked and then time runs out.
Time ran out.
Yeah. How
can you do that?
You thought he had a timeout left.
Oh,
well, didn't Sam Darnold do that?
But Sam Darnold was early on in his career. Hoyer's been in the league for, a decade plus under Belichick, and you make that
terrible,
mistake?
He's terrible, Dave. He really is. He's awful. Like, even Jared Stidham came in and showed better than Brian Hoyer. If they had a Cam Newton that game, that would have been a different ballgame. The complexion of that game would have been completely different.
Because
if the Patriots secondary could catch a football, the game would have been different.
Oh, yeah, Dev McCourty should have had that pick in the first
goodness.
series. But they shouldn't have blown that one dead when Chase Winovich gets the sack and knocks it out of Mahomes' hands, and then Shalee Calhoun recovers it. How do you blow that
fumble.
Dead?
That's a fumble. He wasn't close to
it's
the ground.
It's a fumble or an interception. The ball didn't touch the ground. Either way, it's Patriots ball
it's
in plus
turnover.
Territory.
Absolutely, 100%. It's a turnover. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Joe in Jersey. Joe, you're first up here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So, I wanted to bring up, how do you feel about Higashioka staying in the Yankee lineup instead of Sanchez?
He's not going
to. Defensively, just feel like it's way better.
I don't think he's going to. I think Sanchez catches tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
So, and thanks for the call, Joe. Is this like an audition now? You think if Sanchez catches well tonight, he goes game three? Or you think that they kind of
go
back
and
forth?
No, they love Sanchez. No, I mean, they're committed to Sanchez.
I get it. But, oh my God, he was so good last night.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think for me, he was the unsung hero of last night's game.
Yes.
But they've shown you they love Gary Sanchez. They love having his bat in the lineup. Now, could they bring in Higashioka later in the game for defensive purposes? I mean, that could happen.
Well, I think it would, don't you? Like, if the Yankees have lead in the eighth.
I know, but they're only carrying two catchers. Kratz is not on the roster.
Right.
So, if God forbid something happens. But you saw it last night, too. I mean, they did the same thing. They took Voit out.
Yeah, Rays did it, yep.
Who's clearly gimped up. I mean, Voit's foot. I mean, I give that guy tons of credit, man. I mean, he's battling through something. I don't know if it's plantar fasciitis or whatever it is, but he can barely move.
Well, he can barely run.
He made a great play, too, by the way. Sneaky good play when Gleyber Torre, awful throw over.
Mm-hmm.
And terrible throw.
Didn't that toe down?
Yeah. Was that the first inning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible throw.
Gleyber makes me a little bit nervous at shortstop.
I was just going to say that. He does. He gets it done, but he makes you nervous. Like, remember the play at second base where Smoltz, I guess, was saying, like, you know, I don't know that he had that baseball.
No, Smoltz wasn't on the call, Dave. That was Aroni.
Who was on the call? I had a lot of games
in a Rice Aroni. In a Rice Aroni.
Who was on the call?
What do you mean? That was Ronnie Darling.
All right, so it was Darling then. I had three games out, going Debo. On at one time.
Yeah, but you three games on. It was... Okay.
Three games at one time.
Okay. Listen, that's fine. You made a mistake.
Point is, played second base, and Darling, who apparently was on the call, was like, I don't know that he had that baseball. I agree with you. Torres makes me nervous at shortstop.
Yeah, he makes me nervous. I feel good about DJ at second. I obviously love Urshela at third. I mean, Voit is what he is at first base. But there is, I mean, there... He makes the play he makes the plays that are to him, but he's not special.
And he also, if I said to you, there's one guy that's going to have a hiccup in the field, in the infield, it would be Torres.
Yeah, he has a little Gary Sanchez in him, a little bit. Where he can just take a play for granted for a second. Like, that was an easy play for him to make that throw. That was he actually took a second, collected himself, and still made a bad throw. But that's nitpicking. I mean, they won 9-3.
They did.
Scored 31 runs in three games.
It's a lot of runs. Not going to lose a lot of baseball like that.
Against Shane, don't call me Justin Bieber, Cookie Carrasco, and now Blake Snell and Tampa.
Yeah, Cy Young Award winners in multiple seasons, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Snell was a Cy Young Award winner. Bieber's going to win it this year, and this is who you've done damage against. You know, I thought Bieber wasn't good. Maybe the Yankees are just that good.
Mm. These teams had this Cleveland was one. And Tampa was 2 with ERA. And you're beating the hell out of them.
Yep. How about the Astros, huh?
Oh, I can't wait. This is setting up perfectly. Perfectly. I can't stand the Astros.
So okay. Let me just see if I understand this now. Yankees, Astros, you're rooting for the Yankees.
I think I have to. I can't stand. Because I used to like the Astros. Now I can't stand them.
You're not the person I thought you were, by the way.
Well, take your medicine, man. Like, you got caught. You cheated. Like, take your medicine. Don't be mad at us. Like, I feel like they're yelling at, like, they're mad at me because I'm mad that they cheated.
They are. They're going to, they know that they're busting. They're going to take it out on everybody to deflect from themselves.
What are you going to say now? Well, I'm going to say that you didn't finish 500 and you beat up on the Twins. Relax.
If they beat the A's, though.
Well, I mean, if their best players play the way that they played yesterday. They still have really good players. I mean, their bullpen was lights out. McCullers wasn't very good, but Correa, Bregman, I mean, were nasty yesterday. Their lineup is still legit.
Very much so.
I hate the Astros, though.
But you want them, don't you?
I wish all the bad things in baseball happened to them and nobody else.
Like, I guess them in this series,
nothing would make me feel better, Dave, than to be able to put them out of the playoffs on our way to the World Series. I would love that.
I'm sure.
I would love it. And then just say, what are you going to say now?
Right. Not only to yeah. beat them, but just to destroy them.
Well, not only that, Dave, but to just cast doubt in their mind. You know what? You had to cheat in 2017. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had a chance to win the championship you got. You had to cheat last year. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to get past us. Like, if they get caught, they got caught cheating, and then all of a sudden we square off in the ALCS again, and this time the Yankees get the better of them. I mean, listen, man, a lot of Yankees fans, including me, will feel like the only difference in us not competing for a championship in 2017 was them cheating.
But if they turn around all of a sudden in 2020 beat you without cheating?
No, why would you speak that? Why would you say that? You're not really my friend. Because if you were, you wouldn't say that.
Oh, my, would that be unbelievable.
You're a bad guy, man. You're a bad guy. Hey. Maybe it's just, I guess that's what Mets fans do. Just want to be bad guys.
I respect the fact that you said it, by the way.
I know you do. Dave, yeah. Since you, I mean, you look gorgeous, by the way. I can just tell. Just the sound of your voice, I can tell. Like this.
Yeah,
I really
actually do.
I know, I can tell.
Yeah.
But as my radio wife slash, you know, fellow Mets fan,
mm-hmm.
tell me if you're on the same wavelength as me. As much as we hate the Astros, would you be upset at all if Alex Cora ended up being the Mets manager?
No.
Not me either.
Why would I be?
I'm glad we're on the same page.
No. Why would I be upset?
I would not be upset.
No. I'd be thrilled.
I would be thrilled as well. Because it sounds like the Tigers. You saw what the Detroit Tigers said, both Hinch and Cora in the mix.
Well, why would you not?
Exactly.
Their punishment. They're going to be able to come back. They're terrific baseball minds. Absolutely, I'd go
if
with
someone them. Else is going to hire them. We might as well. I mean, why not be us?
And how long do you think that's going to last? A month, 3 months, maybe a year, and then it'll
if they're
gone.
Winning, who cares?
Exactly.
There are cheaters.
That's right.
Exactly.
At least they're on our side now. They're cheating.
I mean, how much do people in New England love Bill Belichick?
Habitual line stepper.
He's
habitual line stepper.
Always cheats.
Some reason with the Patriots, though, everything always has a happy ending.
Very well done.
Wow.
Very, 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 very well done. All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the always optimistic and uplifting Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. I am bringing the three of you down to South Beach today for a little NBA Finals trivia. You ready?
Okay.
Of course, Dwayne Wade is the Miami Heat's all-time leading scorer. Can you tell me what college he went to?
Marquette.
Yes. Now, while Dwayne Wade is Miami Heat's all-time leading scorer, can you tell me who ranks number two for the franchise?
It's not going to be LeBron. I didn't play there long enough.
Oh, let's see. Most points, second most points. You got D Wade.
Do
you have an idea?
I mean, Alonzo Mourning?
It's got to be Zoe, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't have to be Mourning, doesn't it?
Yes. Nice. Zoe, number two.
Yeah, he was down there forever.
Speaking of Zoe, he ranks number two on the Heat's all-time rebound list. Can you tell me what Florida Gator ranks number one?
Udonis Haslem, because he's been there forever.
He has been there forever.
Nice. And finally, what Syracuse alum was the first ever draft pick of the team in 1988?
Cycley.
Ronnie Cycley's correct. 4 for 4, boys. Let's be careful out there and stay healthy.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. We will do our best to be as careful as humanly possible. Listen, it's good advice.
Oh, it's great advice.
Dave, great isn't advice. Udonis Haslem still technically on the Miami Heat?
Yeah.
He's still on the team?
And I think he's 40. Yes. He's been there.
He gave an impassioned speech during game.
That was a great speech.
Yeah.
That was a great speech.
Veteran leadership, man. Can't put a price tag on it.
Quick
Just
break.
Make him
Come
a coach
back.
By now. Just make him a coach.
Yeah, well, he pretty much is.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.